You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Mike Vaccaro of the Post has already established himself as one of the great columnists of all time in New York. Mike, thanks for taking the time. And let's start with DeGrom. And if you were running the Mets right now, and this is all so far what we're seeing, very encouraging steps, throwing today, the MRI coming back clean. But how careful would you be about throwing him out there for his next start?
Very carefully. And I mean, look, he's there's no way possibly to overstate how much he means to the team. Not only just, you know, his otherworldly performance, but I do think he's a guy the other guys feed off of him. I do think there's a lot to be said for the reason they're still in first place, and by a pretty substantial margin, is because they feel they have to be his equal. And, you know, they're playing a lot of second and third tier players right now, but they all seem to not just elevate themselves on the days he pitches, but I mean, they really do seem to want to deliver him to the playoffs, which is where he belongs. And look, just from a baseball ball standpoint, you know, you can't mess with this. I mean, if you're wrong about it, you know, and you lose him for the year, that's just devastating. Or even if you lose him for 6 weeks, that's devastating. So I think they should be cautious. I mean, they will be cautious. I understand the notion that everybody wants him to come back and play, you know, and pitch again on Wednesday. But, you know, if there's even a shadow of a doubt, I think you have to be err on the side of caution.
I am in complete agreement, as usual, with you, Mike, on that. I would actually just, no matter what, I think I would skip that next start and just really play it safe, because they do have a cushion now in the NL East. And right now, when you look at the job that Rojas has done with that team, with some of the players who are out, and the McKinneys of the world sort of carrying the day, what do you think of Rojas? And is he a guy maybe who has the right temperament for this group?
Well, I know he frustrates Mets fans with things like bullpen decisions, and but you know it's impossible not to give him credit for the fact that the Mets are in first place, despite the fact that they had an injury list not long ago that I think stretched to 18, which is just preposterous. And you know, you look at that lineup they throw out every day. I'm not saying he's singularly responsible for Billy McKinney, you know, suddenly discovering how to be a major league player. But you do, after a while, over the course of time, I mean, you have to give the manager credit for establishing an atmosphere where guys are able to do their best. And I really think that's what his strength is, along with the fact that he's, you know, clearly a guy who knows how to develop player relationships, long-term relationships with his players. You know, so a lot of these guys played for him in the minor leagues. But I do think that even the guys who didn't, respect you know, not only his acumen, but I think just his personality. And look, I think part of that is being, you know, the son of who he's the son of. I mean, he's an Aloo, and that's a pretty prominent baseball family. And if you know the father, you know the brother Moises, you know, these are tough guys. I mean, he may not come across as the toughest guy in the room, but you know, he's got a real pride and a real understanding for the way things are supposed to be in baseball, and I think that's really coming through, at least so far in this Mets season.
Before we switch to the NBA, Mike, let's talk about the other baseball team in town. It's not often over the years the Yankees have been described that way, as the other team in town, but they are where they are. And this is a kind of an interesting matchup today. You got Aaron Boone against Joe Girardi. And the question I want to ask you, it's not often, obviously, that a manager will lead a team to Game 7 of the LCS and then get fired like Girardi did in 2017. But if you're a Yankee fan and you're asking yourself the question today, am I better off today with Aaron Boone than I was the day that Girardi got fired? What do you think the answer to that question is?
I think it's kind of a complicated answer, because I think today the answer is different than it might have been 2 years ago. I mean, don't forget, you know, Boone did win 203 games his first 2 years here. I think a good reason why that happened is because for exactly the reasons he was hired, because they needed a different voice, they needed a different presence in the room. And I do think he was successful. Look, I mean, he also was – you know, those are two years where he was managing against you know, terrific teams in the American League, and you know, who might have been getting some extra help besides being very good. So I mean, you had that going against him, but I do sense a difference in Boone now. And look, I mean, Girardi has had his problems in Philadelphia too, and I think it's been not just a reminder of what his problems were with the Yankees, but there seems to be a little Captain Queeg to him too. So I'm not so sure that necessarily would have been, you know, a cure-all for the Yankees, but I do think that Boone's situation is a little more tenuous just because they're clearly not responding to him. The reason why he was so effective and the reason why he was so appealing is because they thought that, you know, by having that his kind of voice in the room, he would bring the best out of the players. And that was the case for a while, but it certainly hasn't been the case going back to last year.
Right, the Bryce Harper injury mess. That was another Joe Girardi unforced error in Philadelphia. So that's duly noted. Mike Vaccaro, one of the greats, New York Post, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's talk about Nets-Bucks quickly. Game four, if I'm a Nets supporter, I'm not terribly concerned about what happened in game three. Now, that could change if they lose that game tomorrow and it's 2-2. All of a sudden, we got a best of three. The dynamic of the series certainly will dramatically change. Where do you think the Nets are right now in terms of the urgency or lack thereof of the series after losing game three?
You know what? I mean, I don't think there was a lot of people who thought that the Bucks wouldn't be able to win game three. They were so desperate, and they're obviously very good. I mean, I think they're at least the Nets equal, despite finishing a game or two behind them in the standings. So losing game three wasn't necessarily surprising. I think the way it happened was very surprising. I mean, you know, if the Nets bring their C effort on, you know, in game three, you know, they're sitting there up three games to none right now. So I think that might be a little concerning, and I think that the urgency is this tomorrow, I think, to make sure that they regain what they were doing in the first two games of the series, you know, most of the first, you know, the five games against the Celtics. I mean, they, you know, don't forget just how good they looked in game two, and not just on offense. I mean, that's what was really impressive by the Nets, you know, the first, I think, seven games of the playoffs. It wasn't just their offense, which you expect to be great because of the great players they have. But they really stepped it up on defense. And that was a question that plagued Steve Nash all year long. People asking, are they ever going to play defense? Are you ever going to play defense? Are you ever going to play defense? And they really had risen to that occasion. Now, I mean, I guess they did that again in game three, but you don't expect to see an 86-83 score, especially between a team that averaged 120 points a game in the Bucks and one that can, you know, drop 140 on you without freaking sweat in the Nets.
Good point. And Mike, listen, before I let you go, I had Jeff Van Gundy on earlier, and I said $10 either on Brooklyn or the field to win an NBA title. He put his $10 on Brooklyn. Where are you putting your money?
I have a hard time putting it on anybody in the field because I don't see any one team that's the, you know, the Nets equal, especially if and when Harden comes back. I mean, that's just a – there are moments when the Nets play, and even against good teams, when you wonder – you know, how do they lose? Not only how do they lose, but how do they ever miss? And, I mean, that's how effective they can be. And, look, I mean, if you run into a juggernaut in Utah or Phoenix, I mean, I suppose all bets are off. But I think they're the best team in the East, all due respect to the Sixers, who I think are still a little bit vulnerable. I do think they're better than anybody out West. I mean, you take a look at what they did against the Western teams this year, and a lot of times they were doing it, you know, without any of the big three. I mean, they beat the Suns with Harden. They beat some of those teams without anybody really helping. And, to me, when you look at that and just look at what the Nets can do when they're playing at their best, they're still, I think, head and shoulders above the rest of the field.
All right. That's Mike Vaccaro, a great columnist and teammate at the Post. Mike, thanks as always, and we will catch up to you soon.
Sounds good, Ian. Good talking to you.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.